WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A look at the strategy behind this year's House of Delegates races, a new Canadian-style approach to treating opioid addiction, and a college collaboration to open up access to STEM programs reaching all the way back into grade school. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, October 24th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College. When you earn a two-year associate degree, transferring to a four-year college is possible through their guaranteed transfer agreement programs. More information at brcc.edu.
Republicans and Democrats are both targeting certain races for the House of Delegates this year, hoping to invest in retaining seats or, in some cases, flipping them to the other side. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Republicans and Democrats are both targeting House District 12. That's a seat in the New River Valley where Republican incumbent Joseph Yost is defending his seat against Democratic challenger Chris Hurst. According to an analysis by the Virginia Public Access Project of Political Money, that race has attracted the most amount of campaign cash from political parties and PACs, about $250,000, mostly to help the Republican defend his seat.
Your bang for your buck in that part of the state is going to go a lot farther than it will in Northern Virginia, for instance.
That's Jeff Skelly, the University of Virginia Center for Politics.
So I think to some degree the dollar amounts match the seats that are most competitive, but it's not always true. Some of that just comes down to the individual candidates.
Skelly says some races could have been competitive, but they're not because the challenger didn't raise enough money. The Democrat running against Republican delegate Jackson Miller of Northern Virginia, for example, Skelly says he hasn't raised the amount of money that was expected. Quentin Kidd, Christopher Newport University, says parties tend to invest in candidates that have already proven they can raise a lot of money.
As it turns out, many of the races or districts that we thought might be really competitive have proven to be less so, in part because the candidates themselves aren't as good maybe as they need to be, and they haven't been able to raise as much money as they need.
Republicans have invested more money in more races than Democrats, especially Northern Virginia incumbents like Jim LaMunyon and Tad Greason. Overall, Republican candidates are heading into Election Day with about twice as much cash on hand as Democrats. I'm Michael Pope.
State officials have declared opioid addiction an emergency, and this year is on pace to be the deadliest year ever. But a medical student at Virginia Tech has a fresh view of a controversial program called supervised injection. WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
Andrew Gaddis's research took him to a site in Vancouver where addicts are allowed to inject their illegally obtained drugs under medical supervision with safety and recovery the first priority.
And the message we're trying to get out is that there is a massive difference between allowing for it and encouraging it.
He says the goal is simple.
Keeping these people safe from death and surround them with options for treatment and other things that support their health and their well-being and their recovery.
An average of 19 people die every week in Richmond from opioid overdoses. At the Vancouver Clinic?
The site in Vancouver has been operating since 2003, and no one has died there. Ever.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Virginians are using their seat belts more than ever before. The Virginian Pilot reports a record 85% of Virginians are using their seat belts, up from 79% in recent years. The figures come from Old Dominion University researchers collecting data through roadside surveys done at random locations in Virginia. State officials say they are still trying to increase compliance. In 2017 so far, 236 people have died in crashes because they were not wearing seatbelts. In an event organized by the University of Virginia and the Miller Center, New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof, the son of a World War II refugee, reflected on the reasons of the white supremacist violence in August and in the nation. WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini has more.
Nicholas Kristof talked to a mostly white crowd at UVA about issues linked to the political climate. One of his central ideas was a lack of empathy leading to a lack of actions taken against discrimination or poverty.
I guess I've come to think over time that it's less about a lack of resources as such, and that in some ways it's about what might be called an empathy gap. I think it goes back in part to our tendency to otherize people on the basis of race or religion or whatever it may be.
The New York Times journalist then addressed the issue of systemic racism itself, beyond all the current focus on white supremacists.
To me it seems that the big problem we have in 2017 in terms of discrimination is of well-meaning people who consciously believe in equality and yet, because of unconscious bias, act in ways that perpetuate that inequality. Frankly, one of the basic problems with discussions about race is that they're awkward, and so we don't tend to have them. African Americans talk a lot about race. Whites don't talk very much about it. It may be that people like Richard Spencer force whites to have some difficult conversations about racism in ways that kind of are helpful.
For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
Increasingly, Virginia schools are getting financial support to seek a more diverse population in STEM programs. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. In Charlottesville, grants are funding a partnership between Piedmont Virginia Community College, the University of Virginia, and Buford Middle School to make that dream come true. And Marguerite has that report.
Let's start with Piedmont Virginia Community College. Their goal is to use $170,000 in grant money to build a pipeline of underrepresented students in STEM programs. The money comes from the Virginia North Carolina Alliance, a consortium of 12 institutions, including historically black colleges and universities.
At least historically with this grant, it has been African Americans, Hispanic students, and Native Americans and Pacific Islanders. We're also looking to increase the number of women in the engineering degree as well.
That's Joanna Vondrasek, a professor of biology and the college site coordinator for this grant.
We have a lot of first-generation college students as well who don't fit necessarily the demographic of, you know, traditionally underrepresented minorities. However, first-generation students of all backgrounds have generally a harder time making it through college than folks who have parents who went to college. And so I feel like all of this support has helped our students across the board.
The grant allows PVCC to reinforce funding for more resources, such as tutors in a few core classes, take students to conferences, and build up their course called Science 299.
So if a student is interested in transferring to a four-year school as a chemistry major, they would complete a chemistry capstone research project. Biology, physics, geology are offered as well. And so the students are designing and then implementing their own experiment, doing data analysis, and then at the end of the semester, they're presenting their work in a mini scientific conference that we hold on campus.
This gives students a head start when they want to transfer to a four-year school such as the University of Virginia. UVA actually leads this project, funded by the National Science Foundation, and asked PVCC to join.
It's a natural partner for us. Piedmont produces great students. We know that the majority of underrepresented students, and women in fact, start their educational careers at community colleges.
John Gates is the Associate Dean for Diversity and Inclusion in the School of Engineering and Applied Science at UVA. He says this kind of STEM funding really benefits the whole nation.
We're in this real period of change in America. In 25 years from now, America will be majority minority. The National Science Foundation and the Department of Defense have declared that the paucity of underrepresented scholars in engineering is, in fact, a national security threat to the nation. We are not producing enough engineering scholars to meet the growing and more complex needs of our nation.
To help meet those needs, UVA also recently received a $15,000 grant from the Clark Foundation and was able to match it dollar for dollar to make a total of $30,000. Besides college, these grants are also helping to reach into secondary schools, including summer classes for high school students.
We have a great partnership with Albemarle County High School and the schools generally, as well as Charlottesville High Schools. We provide summer programs for high school students every summer and bring quite a number onto grounds. I think last summer we had over 100 underrepresented students from the high schools, both in Virginia and nationally, here doing study and research. We work in partnership with a middle school just around the corner from here that has a majority-minority population.
That school is Buford Middle School. Engineering teacher Brandon Martin is a former UVA graduate student in systems engineering.
I think engineering is an awesome opportunity for kids where they can not only just learn the content of engineering and science, but also how to learn and how to problem solve effectively and how to be resourceful when they're given really challenging tasks.
Buford Middle School's curriculum is based on UVA's Laboratory School for Advanced Manufacturing. Buford also has an after-school club meeting every Monday, as well as a partnership with the IT giant Cisco, with credentials integrated into the school's curriculum. One opportunity for the middle school students is using a program called SolidWorks, a professional design tool used by major engineering companies. That's what young Aya Feggins is doing.
I'm working on SolidWorks right now. It's like where you have to make these different parts, and in the end you put them all together on the computer. And I'm on part 6 right now, and it's fun, but it can be like super hard. But it's nice when you like finish it and the feeling of it.
Last year, Charlottesville City Schools sought to reach even younger students.
We have this great program really from 7 to 12 now, from Buford all the way to CHS. We offer engineering 1 through 5. What we found is we really want to get kids interested and involved in this earlier, and we need to get kids ready for 7th grade engineering. So we built out what's called the iSTEM program, which is placing teachers in all the elementary schools and at the upper elementary school to do some of these STEM activities to engage them.
What is the ultimate obstacle for this kid's success? According to young Jude Fairchild from Buford, it's only himself.
The only barrier I really have is if I don't try. I mean, I can reach my goals, I can reach my potential if I work hard enough.
For WMRA News, I am Marguerite Gallerini.
And you can learn a lot more about the effort to diversify STEM programs at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Tuesday.